guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover our peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, Pew Bible page 1687. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. He jumped into the water. The other disciples followed the boat, throwing the net full of fish. For they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning of coal, there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Laughing God, be with us today as we hear your word anew. And Lord, let me preach the best sermon I've preached all week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to start with a video. I want you to check this out.
Hey, time to eat.
Let's do
Yum.
It.
Good.
Thanks for bringing your buddy over for dinner.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let's pray.
Yeah. No, I was going to suggest that. Pray before we eat. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Dude, take your hat off.
You want me to take my hat off?
Yeah.
For the prayer or just the meal? Or?
Thank you.
Okay, hats off.
Okay, let's pray.
We close our eyes.
Oh, you want me to close my eyes too? Okay, bro, you told me about none of this, but all right, eyes closed, hat off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that.
You want my phone?
We hold hands.
You're one of these families.
We hold hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw this in a painting one time. Okay, let's do it.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
thank you for the food.
No!
Really?
We religious people tend to take ourselves pretty seriously, don't we? I just love that idea. It's like he has no clue what's going on in there. If you haven't seen that guy, he's really funny. His name is John Crist, and he is a Christian stand-up comedian, but also does a lot of really funny bits on YouTube. I don't know where this idea of taking ourselves too seriously came from. I suspect it goes back to all the people who were in charge not being able to take a joke or two, right? John Calvin, when he was ruling over Geneva, famously made a man who had insulted him at a banquet to shave his head and walk the streets in a shirt made of hair with a torch, begging God for forgiveness along the way. And I think, oh my gosh, couldn't take a joke. Others were tortured, beheaded, burned at the stake for their ill words against Calvin and his religious doctrine. Now, throughout history, religious leaders instilled fear into the hearts of their congregations as a good motivating tactic to keep them in line and to solidify the preacher's divine authority, right? Faith was scary serious. Scottish preacher John Know, who began the Presbyterian, John Knox, oh my God, I put John Know in here. John, what is this, Game of Thrones? John Knox, who started the Presbyterian Church as we know it today, would calmly preach a Bible passage on a Bible passage for about a half an hour. But when he began to apply the text to life, he would, quote, become active and vigorous and violently pounded on the pulpit to make his point. One note taker, we have a note taker, someone who would listen to one of John Knox's sermons. He wrote later, he said, John Knox's sermons made me so to quake and tremble that I could not hold a pen to write notes on his sermon. Now, even our history, our church, has a really interesting history of being deadly serious about faith, right, Mary? We have discovered that that they regulated the behaviors of its members, our members, who dare to enter a dance hall. Scandalized. Don't you even think about drinking wine, none of y'all. Because you were brought in. And they would drag you before the session, and you had to repent of your immoral behavior, or else you weren't coming back and you definitely weren't getting communion. That wasn't happening. Now, our depictions of religious leaders, hit the next slide, Sean. This is how all the religious leaders in the past, that's John Calvin and that's John Knox. Do those look like guys that can take a joke to you? It's more like, you better listen to me or else, is what it sounds like. It's what it looks like. Now, perhaps it's this intense legacy that has made Christians forget that Jesus came to bring good news, not news that should make you feel bad about yourself. Communion should be a rather quiet affair rather than a joyful feast. One year at my last church, I decided that we were going to do the joyful feast version of communion. So what I decided to do was, I had all the communion servers up front in the sanctuary, and I moved the passing of the peace during communion. So I want everybody to get up, talk to each other, act like they're at a party, and then, you know, while you're doing that, come up front and take communion. You know, we did it, and people participated in it, and I got three upset congregation members following the service. Gray, it felt like we weren't taking communion very serious. And I thought, what happened to the joyful feast? Oh no! Is it joyful or is it supposed to be super serious? This idea that, like, what's going on here? You know, like, certainly our faith should be important to us, but why do we take ourselves so seriously when it comes to faith? Are we afraid that God will punish us for laughing or enjoying life too much? Right? Is this kind of religious seriousness that often leads us to judge quicker than we should? And it squashes what I believe is an essential element of our faith, joy. Now, the reformer Martin Luther, who while intense himself, loved a good laugh. And he once said, you have as much laughter as you have faith. Luther is suggesting that faith should bring joy to your life, the kind of joy that makes you laugh easily and forces you to take yourself less seriously. Isaiah 65, God tells the Israelites, "Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people." God experiences joy in our relationship with him. Now imagine that. God feeling joy and gladness. This is not a God who is always waiting to bring down the hammer upon us, but one that actually seeks joy in what God has created. We are made to laugh and enjoy this life. And one of the ways I think you can do that is if you've ever taken a trip, hit the next slide, to the zoo. I think you will see very clearly that God has a sense of humor. Giraffe is my favorite animal, and they are weird looking. They are straight up weird. Look at these animals. You all ever been to the zoo? You know what I'm talking about, right? Giraffes, platypuses. Come on, come on. Have you seen a platypus? Okapi is? It's like the mix between a giraffe and a zebra. Man, that's messed up. Venus flytraps, those are pretty amazing. And if you don't at least smile when you are at the otter center where the otters are playing in the water, if you are not smiling while you're watching these otters play, I think you seriously need to consider being medicated. I'm not kidding. Go to a doctor. Go to a doctor. Joy can be found throughout creation, especially this time of year. We also tend to forget that Jesus was really funny. There are too many movies and Sunday school lessons that depict Jesus as an emotionless robot, right? I am here to bring salvation, love others as I have loved you. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. But it turns out this is not the case. Jesus felt the whole gamut of emotions, anger, sadness, pain, joy. And as you read scripture, you can identify places where Jesus was funny. At the beginning of John, right? Jesus is calling Philip and Nathanael to come meet him. Philip goes to Nathanael and he says, "Come meet Jesus." And Jesus, when he first sees Nathanael, he kind of teases old Nate. And he says, "Now here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." He's kind of trolling him, right? He's kind of trolling him. And then there's this whole line in here, our reading from today, right? Our poor disciples haven't caught any fish all day. They're out in the water. They're having a hard time. They're still grieving over Jesus. And Jesus walks by, seeing that their nets are empty, and says, "Hey, friends, haven't you any fish?" That's kind of funny. Turns out that's pretty funny. He's kind of messing with them. He knows what's going on. Many commentators believe that "render unto Caesar what is Caesar" is a joke, taking a dig at the Romans and their claims of owning everything, of having sovereignty over the world. Now, naming the most eager disciple, Peter, or the rock, was also dripping with irony, because later on, the next chapter, Jesus calls him a stumbling block, a stumbling rock, right? In our reading today, Peter actually jumps into the lake the minute he realizes Jesus has returned. That's really funny. Like, they go, "Oh, Lord and Savior." And what does Peter do immediately? He jumps out of the boat into the water. And all the disciples are like, "What are you doing?" And they just row back. They just row back to shore. It's like the craziest thing. It's hilarious. Now, Jesus used humor. He used absurdity to make his points as many great speakers do. And so while we don't have one verse in the Bible that tells us that Jesus ever laughed, we can be sure that he felt joy, that he felt gladness, and he shared that with us in our humanity. Remembering this joy will open our eyes to hear Jesus' words anew, where Jesus is allowed to be funny and not always super deadly serious. Now, the Message Bible translates Micah 6 this way. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. Do not take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Now, one way we can stop taking ourselves so seriously is by opening our hearts to the joy and humor around us, including the absurdity in our own lives. Laughter is healing. Laughter binds us together through the tough times. It helps us deal with the burdens and challenges of this world. It lightens the load of pain and grief we experience. We are able to laugh at ourselves. I listened to this podcast, which I'm not going to tell you all to listen to it because it does have, the language is terrible. So just if you do listen to it, just know. But the podcast is called The Honeydew. And he calls the podcast The Honeydew because the honeydew is the fruit that is in the fruit cup that everybody leaves behind. None of y'all eat the honeydew, do you? That's right. Some of y'all, John's like, I do. I love the honeydew. But he was talking about how that is the most common left fruit in the fruit cup. And he named it that because he said that he felt like he was a honeydew. That his father and mother had a really tough time and they kind of abandoned him in ways that shouldn't have. And he's a honeydew, the part that people wanted to throw out. But he says, but this podcast is about laughing at the parts of our lives that are brutal. Finding ways to laugh at ourselves, finding ways to laugh about the difficult things. Because by laughing, we bind ourselves together and we're able to find strength to get through it. That is what laughter and joy can do for our lives. I think every one of you know that. When you have been going through something really tough and you find a way to connect with a friend or connect with somebody and just laugh, there is something healing about laughter, about that joy that you experience in laughter. So today, let us take what God is capable of very seriously. Believe that God can resurrect joy and gladness in your life out of the grief and pain you're feeling right now. Believe that God can laugh with you as you learn to cope with whatever changes that are coming your way in your life. But most importantly, always remember that God always will rejoice and be glad in you exactly as you are. Imperfections, brokenness, and all. And that is something worth taking seriously. And the rest, feel free to laugh about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.